Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. As the Thanksgiving holiday approaches, we want to spend some time considering the eternal importance of having an increasingly thankful heart. How much actual time do you spend each day being thankful and proclaiming your thanks to our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the Holy Spirit for all the incredible blessings in your life? Let's open our Bible now that we may begin to better understand the overwhelming importance of being thankful.
Well, good morning and welcome to another teaching. It's a it's an early and dark Sunday morning here in Texas in the studio with Stephen. He got up early this morning so we could be here and just begin this mini series on Thanksgiving. We're going to be talking about the incredible power of Thanksgiving, the incredible power of thankfulness. In the last Thursday of every November in the United States, we celebrate a holiday that we call Thanksgiving. I believe it was in 1863 that President Abraham Lincoln declared a day, a holiday, it was during the Civil War, that we would give thanks to our incredible, loving, I believe the word he used was beneficent, Heavenly Father for all the incredible and wonderful blessings that we have been given. And it's profound. Now, that's not exactly what the vast majority, 99.99999% of Americans do on Thanksgiving, right? I mean, think about the past Thanksgiving days in your life. The holiday of Thanksgiving, most of us probably get together with family and friends. Many of us, millions undoubtedly, tens of millions, watch NFL football, as do I. I'm a big Dallas Cowboy fan, and I've been my whole life since I was, 8 years old when the Cowboys were playing the Steelers. And, you know, I always liked the Cowboys because they had the nice bright uniforms, right? The Steelers just seemed, mean because they had those dark black and yellow uniforms. They seemed ominous, right? But Thanksgiving is just a time where I love watching football. Now, obviously, we get together, we're blessed to eat just incredible food. We like the turkey, we like the mashed potatoes, the stuffing, we like the green bean casserole. I love the cranberry sauce. My mother, God rest her soul, was the best cook I've ever known, and she just would make a Thanksgiving feast that is unrivaled. So thank you, Lord Jesus. And all of those things, mind you, are wonderful things. Just getting together with family and friends and having a holiday just to enjoy company, to enjoy, just to socialize, to watch football, to eat good food is wonderful. Now, as you heard me already say, that was not in any way the intention of where we and why we began the holiday of Thanksgiving. Again, Abraham Lincoln intentionally made this a holiday in the United States so that we could have a holiday each year where we could actually consider the overwhelming blessings of our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the Holy Spirit, and really think about it. And spend a day in meditating on all the incredible love we've been shown, again, by our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and by the Holy Spirit. And just have a day where we consistently are thankful, where we consistently give thanks for the overwhelming blessings in our lives. And so, obviously, pretty much everyone who's listening to this, you know, will admit that that's not really how we have spent the Thanksgiving holiday in our lives. If you're 20 years old, how many of those 20 years did you spend the majority of the day just looking to give thanks to Jesus? Or if you're 30 years old or 40 years old or 50 years old or 60 or 70 or 80, how many of those days has the priority of your life been to really set aside the day to have a thankful heart to your Heavenly Father, to genuinely and consistently throughout the day, 10, 20, 30, 40 times, think about all the incredible blessings that He's bestowed upon you and to give thanks? How much time have you spent each Thanksgiving day thinking about the cross of Jesus Christ? When we give thanks to our Heavenly Father, and we'll talk about this in upcoming teachings, we ought to be thankful for countless things, right? Psalm 24, 1 and 2, the earth is the Lord and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Everything belongs to Jesus. And so we ought to be thankful for literally every aspect of our lives, spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, and relationally. Every aspect of our lives we owe to our triune God. Remember, we have one God, one being, but He's three distinct individual persons: God the Father, God the Son Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. Never does the generic being God act outside of the individual persons of God the Father, God the Son Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. What am I saying? Never has the generic being God done anything for you or for me. It's always been done either in the person of God the Father, God the Son Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. Or it's been a cooperation of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit moving in your life. So that's something right there to think about and to be thankful for. It's important we understand that, because we cannot have relationship. We cannot have personal relationship of any kind, either with human beings or with our God, without a person. So step back and let that sink in for a minute. You cannot have personal relationship without a person. Whether you're looking to have relationship with other human beings, you don't have relationship. You don't relate to human beings by what they are. What they are is human beings, but by who they are. What your relationship is with the person, your mom or your dad, your father or your mother, your brother or your sister, or again, you know, whoever they are, right? Nathan and Kristen and Lauren and May, you know, you have relationship not with what they are, with what something is, a human being, but with who they are. And it's the same with our triune God. You have no relationship with the generic being God. Your relationship is with each person of the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. It's profound, right? When you meditate on it and when you think about it. And it's only in Jesus Christ, in Jesus alone, that we can know who the generic being God is in any way. And again, you don't know Him as God at all, no more than you know all human beings as human beings. In Jesus, you come to know God the Father as your Heavenly Father. The person of God the Father becomes your Heavenly Father. He is your Father, your Heavenly Father, in Jesus and only in Jesus. In Jesus, Jesus Christ becomes your Lord and Savior and Master and King and Friend. You're part of the body of Christ and the bride of Christ. And in Jesus, God the Holy Spirit comes to live inside you the moment you receive Jesus as your Savior, becomes one with you, regenerates you, gives you spiritual life, eternal life, and you're ever sealed with God the Holy Spirit. And he becomes your guide, your counselor, and your comforter all the days of your life, increasingly pointing you back to Jesus. Now, when you think about that, if you meditate on that, okay, and surely we ought to do it on Thanksgiving Day, but we ought to be doing it every day of our lives. When you think about that, there ought to be a heart of thanksgiving that starts to come up. There ought to be a measure of thankfulness when you think about the incredible and profound, overwhelming, mystery of our triune God. One being, three distinct individual persons. One what, three whos. Where you are one what and one who, because you're finite, right? One being and one person, because he is infinite. Our God is infinite. He's one being, but three distinct individual persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the more you think about these things, the more you will begin to be thankful. So we're going to talk about, again, how to have a lifestyle of increasing thankfulness. And it will take intentionality. The good news is that the scripture commands us to be thankful whether we feel like it or not. Being thankful is not dependent on a feeling. Now, the more we practice a lifestyle of thankfulness, even when we're not, thankfulness, obviously, to our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and to the Holy Spirit, and being thankful to one another, right? In this life, to others that we're in relationship with, other people, the more we practice that, the more we will begin to experience a feeling or a sensation of genuine thankfulness. And it really is wonderful. There is there's nothing better in our lives than having a heart that's genuinely and increasingly thankful, that wants to be thankful. And the key to that will be meditating on the goodness and on the love and on the overwhelming wonder of our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit. And then inside of that, meditating on the work of Jesus Christ, our Lord, at the cross. There is nothing in all eternity. There is nothing that we are to be more thankful for than the cross of Jesus Christ. When you think about the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, God the Son Jesus, immediately you ought to move into a time of thanksgiving. As you meditate on the fullness of what Jesus has done for you. So I don't forget to mention it. You can go to our website, kingdomd.org. Just type kingdom, the letter D, .org. And you can navigate there. And we have gospel tracts that we've written. Everything is free. You can open up the gospel tract and you can read. They're in different languages. I believe there's three of them in various languages, obviously all in English, and then a couple in Spanish, and then in different languages around the world. When we visit a country, we've been blessed to have people we know that speak and read and write these languages and to translate the gospel tract. So we get the gospel out, right? The good news. The gospel is the good news that our God, God the Son, Jesus, of his own will and decision, entered this world, went on to live a perfect, righteous life on our behalf that we could never live, went on to die a horrible, torturous death on the cross that we deserve to die, and has been raised from the dead. That's the good news. Now, the reason it's good news, the reason the gospel means good news, is because of the bad news. None of us are going to appreciate the good news. None of us are going to begin to have a lifestyle of genuine thankfulness for the good news that the Son of God, God the Son, entered this world, lived for us, died for us, and rose again, if we don't understand the bad news. Pretty much everyone listening to this will have heard from the time they were young that Jesus Christ came into the world, lived his life on this earth, died on the cross, and rose again. But the vast majority of those who claim to be Christians, in whatever denomination, again, you just claim to be Christians, whether it's Catholic or non-Catholic, whether it's Baptist, whether it's, again, Methodist, whether it's, again, Episcopalian, whether it's Reformed, whatever the denomination is, the vast majority of those, or even non-denominational, will have heard about Jesus from the time since they can remember, but have given very little thanks to Jesus, very little thanks to our Heavenly Father, very little thanks to the Holy Spirit, because we really don't understand how desperate our situation really was. We don't understand how hopeless we really, really are. The bad news is that we are hopeless, helpless, desperate, hell-bound sinners. That without a Savior, we will spend an eternity in hell, separated from God, in complete sadness and anguish and torment. In order for us to appreciate the gospel, in order for us to appreciate the good news, in order for us to be thankful to Jesus Christ our Lord, again, above everything, and we're going to talk again as we go through these teachings about having a heart of thanksgiving, how to develop a heart of thanksgiving, what it means to be thankful, all the things to be thankful for. But at the foundation of it all will be a discussion about being thankful to Jesus for entering this world out of his incredible love for us, living for us, dying for us, and rising again. But again, in order to be thankful for that, we need to meditate on really the bad news, that we are hopeless, helpless, desperate, hell-bound sinners, and that we need a Savior. And again, without a Savior, only misery and an eternity in hell awaits. Now again, I know to some that may seem intolerant, but it's the greatest and most important message in the world. It's the single most important thing that we can talk about. It is in itself a reason why words were invented. At the bottom of everything, the reason the Lord invented language was so that we could above all share the gospel. Share the good news so that you could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and believe it. Hear it, believe it, and then call out to Jesus and receive him as Savior. turn over to Romans chapter 10, the book of Romans chapter 10. And again, we're going to get into all of these things more deeply. This is just an introduction, you know, on Thanksgiving and all that we're going to be talking about. And so if you look at verse 11, Romans chapter 10, verse 11, and again, we'll get back to going to the website, kingdomd.org, printing off the gospel tracts and just reading it. If you read one of those gospel tracts each day and you meditated on all that Jesus has done for you in living for you, dying for you, and rising again, if you read the scriptures that are on those gospel tracts, it will begin to transform your heart to having a more sincerely thankful heart. And as I said, we have to give thanks even when we don't feel like it. But the more you meditate on the goodness of what your Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit has done, the more transformed your heart will be. And again, the pinnacle of all that, the foundation of all that, is what's been done for you in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So I wanted to say that in case I forget, because we're gonna wrap up here in a few minutes. Romans 10, verse 11. Actually, let's start in verse 9. Romans 10, verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So again, the reason words were invented, the single most important reason words were invented is so that you can confess Jesus with your mouth, so that the gospel could be spoken, so that people could hear it, believe it, call out to the Lord with their mouth, with their words, and be saved. Look at verse 11. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. Romans 10, 13, 4, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 14, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So again, you see Paul talking about here the importance of the gospel being spoken, the gospel of being heard. When someone speaks the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that your God, God the Son, Jesus, the Son of God, entered this world for you and I that are hopeless, helpless, desperate, hellbound sinners, lived a perfect, righteous life on our behalf and in our place that we could never live, died a horrible, torturous death on the cross that we deserved to die, died in our place and was punished in our place and was raised from the dead. Words were invented more for the proclamation of the gospel than anything else, that you could hear the gospel. Verse 14, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? You have to hear the gospel with your ears. And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Okay. How can someone hear words, hear the gospel being spoken unless someone sends it? Now, if you go backwards to forwards, right, they have to be sent, verse 15, and how can they preach unless they're sent? Verse 14, and how can they hear without someone preaching to them? So you have to be sent. You have to share the gospel. Also in verse 14, and how can they believe in the one who have not heard? Okay, so you have to be sent. You have to share the gospel. You have to hear it with your ears, and you have to actually believe it. But then verse 13, backing it up, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's when you hear the gospel, when someone is sent, when you read that gospel tract, or say you print that gospel tract and you leave it somewhere, right? And someone picks it up and they read what the Bible says, right? The gospel tract has the scripture sharing the gospel or preaching the gospel to them. And, you know, they hear it in their heart, either off the page of the gospel tract, by hearing it in the scriptures or by hearing someone sharing it. And they believe what they hear. And then out of that belief, they call out to Jesus, right? And on those gospel tracts, you'll be led to call out to Jesus. When you go through that process of salvation, right? You know, someone being sent to share the gospel, either in person or on a gospel tract. Like I said, you could print them on the website. And, you know, then they share that gospel. And you actually hear it in your ears. And you believe that good news that Jesus came into this world, lived for you, died for you, rose again, lived a perfect, righteous life on your behalf and in your place, died a horrible, torturous death on your behalf and in your place, and was raised from the dead. You believe that. You believe the word of God, the Bible. And then from that place of belief, you call on Jesus. You call out to him as a hopeless, helpless sinner. You believe that you need that good news because you believe you're a hopeless, helpless, hell-bound sinner. You call out to Jesus and ask him to be the Lord of your life, to save you from your sin, to bring you to heaven when you die. You will be saved. It's profound. Now, again, it's not our words that save us, but we do use our words to communicate our heart to Jesus. So again, all of that is to say, when we're talking about being thankful, there is nothing more important in our lives. There is nothing more foundational than being thankful for Jesus. And in order to be thankful for Jesus and all he did, you're going to have to think about him. You're going to have to meditate on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. And the more you do that, this one single thing, and I'll end here, will help you to be thankful more than anything else. So again, go to the website, kingdomd.org, print off the track, and start reading these tracks. Again, if you read it once a day, your life would be profoundly changed in a month. If you read it once a week, again, you would see yourself beginning to be more thankful. Doesn't take your problems away, but you'll start to deal with all the difficulties in your life. You'll be more thankful for what you do have instead of us complaining about what's wrong or what we don't have. So I'll stop there. Again, we're gonna talk about the importance of having a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Hopefully, when we get to Thanksgiving, and hopefully we'll have a teaching that goes out early that morning around 7 a.m. And, you know, hopefully this Thanksgiving day, you'll begin to spend time being more thankful for all that's done for you by your incredible Heavenly Father in heaven. And then beginning to have a lifestyle, beginning today, of being thankful just for all the overwhelming blessings given to you by God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. But again, begin today to think about Jesus. Again, print that track. Again, when you read in the scriptures, the track puts all those scriptures together for you, so it's nice. And then share that track. Give it to somebody. Leave it on a car windshield. You can leave it in a grocery. You can leave them anywhere, and you'll never know till you get to heaven what the Holy Spirit did with that gospel track. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, Father, for the overwhelming blessings you've given us in every aspect of our lives, spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, and relationally. But above all, we thank you for Jesus, our only Lord and Savior and Master and King. Lord Jesus, we thank you for becoming a human man for us. We thank you for living a perfect, righteous life on our behalf that we could never live. We thank you for dying that horrible, torturous death on the cross on our behalf and in our place that we deserve to die. And we thank you that you're alive and risen. Holy Spirit, we thank you today for being our guide, our counselor, and our comforter. with thanksgiving in our hearts, we ask you to seal this message of thanksgiving to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.